Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to First Christian Church Casper. We're so glad to see everyone this morning. If you could, please silence your cell phones or any other devices, and then let's quiet our hearts and minds as we prepare for worship as we listen to Arlen's prelude. Thank you, Arlen. I enjoyed that. Good morning again. We have a list of announcements on the yellow sheet in your bulletin today. Let's see. Today is Reverend McBride's last day. What? You're kind of hitting me cold with this here today. So you're serious about that. I thought it was more like, if you don't start coming to church, I'm moving to Portland. Like, today is Reverend McBride's last day, and we celebrate her leadership in our church. Next Sunday, Cindy Huckfeldt will be leading, maybe not standing in, I don't know. Cindy broke her foot this Wednesday, so she'll still bring the message, but... I think I joked when I filled the pulpit this summer that I usually looked at guest pulpit as Sunday off, but I encourage us as a congregation to come together during this time of guest pulpits, encourage those that are guests in the pulpit, but also everyone in our congregation and our church family. During this in-between time, we will be listing elders who are on call for any spiritual care needs. Please review those each week. The numbers will be listed. And please, if you do need something, please, if you do need something, call those elders. Kathy here at the church will know how to get a hold of us too, but that's what we're here for. Week of Compassion Dinner was a wild success. At least Natalie told me that. She enjoyed it. And there's some information there about Reverend James Reeb's mural reveal. Any other announcements this morning? You get this many people, you clam up, huh? Well, with that, let's stand and greet our fellow church family members and then come back together and sing our opening hymn, All Things Bright and Beautiful, number 61.
Thank you.
Would you please join with me in the call to worship? The Mighty One summons us from sunrise to sunset. God calls to heaven and earth, gather to me my faithful ones who made a covenant with me.
The heavens declare the righteousness of God.
Let us not forget God, but with thanksgiving as our sacrifice, let us be a people of justice.
We worship the God of our salvation.
Let us pray. Lord of light and life, you have called us this day to open our hearts, our minds, our spirits, to hear your words of encouragement, healing, and hope. Give us patience and willingness to serve you in all that we do. Hear us today as we pray the prayer your Son taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Be seated. Our hymn of praise today is number 452. 452. Here I am, Lord.
Thank you.
Amen. Would the children please come forward for a time of sharing? Good morning, Em.
Hi.
Hi, Levi.
Hi.
Good morning. We'll let all our friends come up and be with us today. I have something really old-fashioned to show you all. It's kind of outdated, and you might not have even heard of it. Have any of you heard of a phone book?
Yeah.
Oh, you have. You know what that is? Okay. See, when I was little, it's really strange. People used to have phones hanging on the wall of their house. And if you wanted to call somebody, you picked up the phone and there was a cord attached to the wall and you would dial. I'm old enough, you had to spin your finger in a circle to dial. And to find somebody's phone number, you would look in a phone book. Well, our church has a phone book. Did you all know that?
Yeah.
We have a directory that lists members of the church.
That's so cold.
And it has their phone numbers in it. You feel cold? You're sitting in the air conditioner. Does it feel good?
No.
Oh. I promise there is some place in the sanctuary where there's somebody who's really hot, and you can sit with them. It's magic. We even have a phone book for the church that has pictures of people. There's Pastor Cynthia and her husband Charles. There's Debbie Mestis. There's Ms. Linda. There's all kinds of pictures of people in here. But you know what? This is a really old book. I bet there's somebody up here who knows who this is. Mackenzie, who's this a picture of? Do you know who that is? Can you look at that picture right there? Do you know who that is? That's your papa. His picture's in our book. That's pretty awesome. But this book is so old. It was before Mommy and Daddy moved back to Casper and joined the church. So it is time for a new phone book for the church. But you know what I brought? I didn't bring just a phone book for our church here in Casper. I brought a phone book for our whole church. Look how big this is. Look at that big book. This lists all the Disciples of Christ churches every place in the United States and Canada. We are going to look up Wyoming and find it. Here's Wyoming, here's Casper, First Christian Church, 520 CY Avenue. That's our address right here. Cynthia McBride, minister, and there's a phone number for the church office. So anytime you want to find a Disciple of Christ Church, any place in the U.S., you can look them up in the book. We can even look up some weird place called Oregon. We'll just check and make sure that they really are in here, that they're a legitimate congregation. So we found Oregon. Now let's find Portland. Portland first, 1314 Southwest Park Avenue. That's going to be my new church address. And so if any of you and your moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas are ever visiting Portland, you need to come to church on Sunday morning and get to see me there. But just to help us all remember that whether we're close or whether we're far away, we belong to each other in God and in God's love. I thought that I would be new-fashioned to go with the old-fashioned, and I would try to take a selfie with all of you. So I don't think my arms are long enough because we have so many kids here today. Can you guys scooch really, really, really close together? We might have to have somebody else come and take this picture for us. I don't think my arms are long enough. Ms. Lonnie has a real camera.
Yeah.
I don't know if Charles is smart enough to use a camera cell phone. You want to try? Come here. Oh, Amber, you're young. You can do this. I know. So turn it around because I took it off selfie mode. Would you just take a picture of all the kids all squished together? You might have to back up to get us all in. Make sure we all fit. Can everybody say, I love Jesus?
I love Jesus.
got it. Did Amber get it?
I
got it. Excellent. Now, we're going to take a picture of the whole congregation, too, because there are so many people here today. So this is proof when you go to call your next pastor that they're coming to a really big church. So that means you all have to keep showing up so it's not false advertising, right? It truly is a gift to have so many people here today. I know there are friends who made a special effort to be here this morning. Thank you for coming. Let's join together in a circle, and we'll have a prayer together. Levi, can you hold my hand, and we will pray. We'll have all of our friends gather together. Delilah, you want to come pray? Yes, you can get in the circle. Here, come over here. We'll make room. There we go. And let's let Mackenzie and Reese into the big circle, too. And Reese, there we go. Everybody's in the circle. Let's pray together. Dear God, we thank you for this circle of friends. And we thank you that your love is so great that our circle of friends stretches far and wide. Bless every friend who is gathered here today at First Christian Casper this morning. And bless all of our friends gathered in other places to worship you. And all God's children said, amen. Thank you for coming today. Bye, Levi. For the grown-ups in the house, Kathy does have a copy of the Disciples of Christ yearbook and directory. And if you're ever traveling and you want to visit a disciple church somewhere on a Sunday morning, they would be honored to have you come. And you can check with Kathy ahead of time to get contact information and an address. Or, of course, you can Google that online and on your phone and find a place to worship with others who will welcome you at the table. A special word of welcome this morning to friends and family from near and far. Some of you live in town, and it's hard for you because of schedules to be here on a Sunday morning. I appreciate you making an effort to be here today. Some friends who've been with us for a long time and then have moved elsewhere are back. Thanks to Jane and Don Baker for driving up from the Denver metro area. To Jack Waltz and Brenda for coming up from Cheyenne. And others who've made an effort to be here. It is a blessing to be together. And what a joy to see our chapel folks and our 1010 folks together in worship on this one special Sunday for our whole church family to be together. Our prayer concerns are listed on the back of your bulletin. As we lift up these concerns, you're encouraged to reach into the pew rack in front of you. Find a postcard that has a picture of the church on one side. The other side is blank, so you can write a note to someone who needs to know we're praying for them today. I've been told that there's a card shower after worship this morning at a reception downstairs in Fellowship Hall. So if you want to write a card to Pastor Cynthia or her husband Charles and bring that card downstairs, you're welcome to do so. There may be someone else on the prayer list as well who needs to know you're praying for them today. Place that card in the offering tray later in the service, and we'll deliver it to them. We've already heard that Cindy Huckfeldt broke her foot this week. Prayers of recovery for her. It's a gift to see Ed Struby in worship today. Prayers for health and strength for him. Both Jim Nichols and Jackie Cook are with us today, but they have each had different eye issues, and we pray for health and strength. We offer great thanksgiving to God for the joy of the Week of Compassion dinner and the funds that were raised to give ongoing relief to hurricane recovery in Puerto Rico. The missionary we're praying for today is Ricardo Mayol, who serves in Guatemala. And we pray for our search committee for guidance as they seek an interim pastor and a new senior minister for the congregation. Our regional prayer partners, if you'd like to sign the sheet on the back table, are the members of First Christian Church in Loveland, Colorado, and their pastor, Michael Stein. Are there other additions to the prayer list today that we would like to lift up? Paul.
Prayers for Melissa Westman, the daughter-in-law of Bill and Mary Llewellyn,
prayers of healing and recovery for Melissa Westman. Many of you will remember her parents. Mary Lou played the organ here for many years. Thanks to Paul for being in touch with them and visiting Melissa at the hospital following that car accident. We want to pray for the family of Lois Cook, whose funeral was held yesterday. The beautiful fresh flowers at the front of the sanctuary are in her memory. Hooray! Prayers of joy for Arlen. He went to Fort Collins yesterday and found a new car that he has signed on for and will get it soon. Those of you like Debbie who have had issues with a car know what a blessing that is to have reliable transportation. So we rejoice with you. Amber. I know that's a great burden off Amber's shoulders to know choir rehearsal can start with an accompanist. Thanks to Ethan for coming back and playing for a little while we still seek a choir accompanist. Keith. Guidance for all the students. Casper College starts tomorrow, and our public schools start later in August. Our preschool will start right after Labor Day. Prayers for all students of all ages and those who instruct them. Belle.
It's a pleasure to see Bobby back with us, too.
I am so glad that Bobby is physically able to be with us today. He tried to come last Sunday morning after heart issues, and it was just too soon. So with another week's recovery, I'm glad his strength is such he can be here today. Please continue to pray for Bobby Schiffert for health for his heart. Amen. It is a joy for Charles and I to have made it successfully through some hurdles of life transition. We are actually rejoicing that we're homeless. You know, Jesus calls us to care for those who are hurting or hungry and homeless, and this congregation does that in incredible ways. Your elder chair and her husband care for the homeless so much that they have opened their doors to the McBrides, including three who have four legs each. And we are thankful for peaceable kingdom moments between our crazy dog Brett, two cats, and the Huckfeldts, two cats, all surviving together. We no longer own the little turquoise house on 17th Street. We are so happy that it has been sold to someone who is ecstatic to be buying his first home ever. He and his wife are an older couple. They have been renting a property in Mills for 16 years, and they have been saving money so hard and trying to prepare to be qualified for a loan, and they qualified for $5,000 more than our asking price. And I told them, it's God's plan, and we have exchanged house keys and are very happy for them. If you walk by the church office, you'll notice there are a lot of bookshelves. You may have never seen the bookshelves before because they were full of books, and they're now empty. Those books are on a truck headed to Oregon along with a whole bunch of stuff that I'm not sure why we own. But it is a blessing for us to be partway through transitioning from one home to another in terms of physical house and living space. Are there other joys today we want to share or other prayers we want to lift up? I do ask for prayers for the community of Portland. For those of you who follow the news, you know that there were some interesting social events happening there. I've heard from friends at the church that sometimes everything you read in the media you don't need to think is the gospel truth, but it is certainly an interesting time to be in Portland. I bring you greetings from Cindy Reese, who is the board chair at First Christian Church, Portland. She says, I'm adding my prayers to yours on this final Sunday in Casper, and the Spirit-led new chapter ahead of us all. I'm so grateful and glad that you will soon be my pastor, and we pray blessings for your church as you say farewell. So know, dear church, that you are prayed for by brothers and sisters in Christ on this day. Let us take a moment to lift our hearts in shared silence to the Lord. Lead us, Lord, by your light, by your love, lead us. We thank you, God of guidance, for being the compass of our soul's journeys, for being our true north, for always pointing your people on the path of peace, for always calling the followers of Jesus to work for justice. Lord, you welcome home wanderers that we may worship you in wonder. Lead us, Lord. We pray your leading hand to be upon people and congregations in times of transition, in times of transformation. Holy Lord, we ask for your guidance specifically for the search committee of First Christian Casper as they continue to seek future leadership to serve in this place. We pray your blessing upon every person who will stand in this pulpit in the weeks ahead. For guests and for future clergy alike, we pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will pour forth upon those who speak and serve and upon those who listen and love you in this place. Lord, thank you for guiding journeys, for new students who face new semesters, for those who are buying cars and buying homes, for those who are caring for loved ones. Oh God, we pray for your healing hand. Lord, lead those who are traveling through a hard time of health challenges. Be with Melissa Westman as she recovers from a car accident. Continue to bless Bobby as his heart is strengthened and his body adjusts to having a pacemaker. Watch over Ed Struby and bless him with health and strength each day. Be with Jim and Jackie and others who struggle with eyesight issues. Heal Cindy's foot and grant her patience in the days ahead as she's limited in her mobility. Lord, you lead with love those who walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We pray for your peace to surround the family and friends of Lois Cook. We give thanks again, O God, for her faithful service in this place, as a member of this congregation and as a part of the church staff for so many years. Her life blessed us. Lord, we pray for Lois's children, for Deb and Becky and Roger. We pray for her grandchildren and her great-grandchildren and nieces and nephews, that all of them would continue to love Lois while she is with you and to cherish precious memories. God, we give you thanks for Ethan being willing to share his gift of music for a while with our choir, even as his senior year at high school begins and his schedule is busy. God, continue to bless Arlen and Donna as they play in this place. Be with Amber and all of our musicians. Loving Lord, there are many whom we would lift to you. We pray for your presence with Ricardo Mayol and the work he does in Guatemala, with Michael Stein and the people he leads in Loveland, with other faithful servants. From Portland to Peoria, from Casper to the farthest corners of Canada, oh God, your disciples worship and serve you. may we do so faithfully. In the name of Jesus, who wanders with us along the way, indeed, who for his followers is the way. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen.
As we move into our time of communion, remind us that as it is in the summer at First Christian Church Casper, we do celebrate communion by intinction. So today, after our hymn of communion, we invite you to come forward through the center aisle and place your tithes and offerings in the trays up here, and then share in communion either with the tray that will be here or through intinction with the bread and dipping in the chalice, and then return to your seats on the outside aisle. If you prefer to remain seated during this time, we do have communion that will be brought to you. This morning, my alarm went off twice. Once when it was planned, and once while I was in the bathroom because I pushed snooze instead of off. Maggie loved that one. We all have great alarm clock stories, maybe alarm clock excuses. No one has many stories of adoration about their alarm clock. So why do we even use them? Well, for me, it gets my eyes open. It gets my body into action. And it does so giving me enough time to get something done. Have you ever considered that communion is rather like an alarm clock for our spirit? It's to open our eyes, put us into action, and give us enough time to get things done. Here at our table, Jesus is ringing the bell of our spiritual alarm clock. He wants us to open our eyes. Open our eyes to the reality of sin and injustice in our world today. He wants us in action. For faith without works is dead. And he's given us the time to take action. And that time is called now. We're still here. And until he calls us home, he's got a plan for us. Communion's a time to remember what Christ did for us. And it also reminds us that we are his hands and his feet carrying the good news of the gospel to the world. Let us prepare for communion this morning by singing number 381 in the hymnal, Take My Gifts.
Thank you.
Jesus' alarm clock rings, calling us to turn away from sin, to seek to end injustice, to come to this place and be fed and filled, ready to serve the Lord. Here in this place, we offer the gifts of bread and wine. And as we do so, we remember that time that Jesus met with his friends in the upper room. And he said to them, "The time is now. Things will change, but I am with you always." Jesus took the bread and blessed it and broke it and said to them, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood poured out for you to forgive your sin and the sins of many." Each time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's life, death, and resurrection until he comes again. These are the gifts of God for the people of God, and all are welcome here to share in the feast and to hear Christ call your name. Let us pray.
Lord, our Savior, we remember the parable of the sower. But I always imagine myself as the sower and my witness as the seeds. Help us to a new vision with you as the sower and ourselves as the seeds. Our lives with your guidance scatter us from this place. Help us, Lord, to be your people wherever we find ourselves, filled with the bread of sacrifice and the fruit of your covenant. We will be the seeds of your church scattered in a hungry world. Amen.
Will you please pray with me? Dear Lord, we give thanks for all of the gifts in our lives, and we humbly offer these gifts back to you today. We ask that you bless them, bless those who gave them, and especially bless those who need them. Guide this church to use these gifts to further the reach and impact of your message of love. Amen.
And the people of God said,
Amen.
Amen. Thanks to the Oil City Slickers. They are singing at multiple churches today, and we wish them well on their way to share that joyous sound and song of the Lord with others. Our reading of scripture this morning comes from the lectionary. It is a continuation of part of the text we heard last week from Hebrews 11. If you want to follow along, I invite you to turn in your Pew Bible New Testament to page 226, Hebrews 11, verse 29. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as if it were dry land. But when the Egyptians attempted to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had received the spies in peace. And what more should I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, won strength out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received their dead by resurrection. Others were tortured, refusing to accept release in order to obtain a better resurrection. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, persecuted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. Yet all these, though they were commended for their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better so that they would not, apart from us, be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who, for the sake of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Lord, we come before you for important work to hear your word. We come before you to risk being changed by the amazing reality that you speak to the human heart, and let us hear the Holy Spirit. In all of our wanderings and in this sacred time we share, bless us, O God, to follow you. Bless the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts, that our lives might be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. What a beautiful text this is. Hebrews 11 is such a significant passage that the chapter shows up in the lectionary 2 weeks in a row. There's so much there that we could chew on and ponder. We've heard this morning a continuation of the litany of those who lived by faith, of stories that we hear throughout the Hebrew scriptures through the Old Testament. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea. It's interesting that it's not stated, by faith, Moses struck the Red Sea and the waters parted, but it's the people who walked across on dry land. Think about it for a moment. These are the folks that Moses was leading out of slavery, who would spend 40 years wandering in the wilderness together. It was by faith that they stepped onto a riverbed that only moments before had been at the base of raging waters, flowing so swiftly it would have knocked them over. But thanks to Moses and his staff, thanks to their faith, they stepped out onto uncharted ground where they had not been before. Where just moments before, when they looked across, they thought there was no way they could do that. Surely they're trapped, they're stuck, their leader's crazy or gone. And yet, by faith, they walked across on dry land. In other places, the Israelites are not held up as great examples of living by faith. They grumbled and complained and built a golden calf and did all kinds of things that shows us they were human. Sometimes they got it right and sometimes not. And such is the church. By faith, we do the best we can and we step out even in uncertain times to continue following the Lord. The litany continues with naming so many who were faithful to God. And then in verse 39, there's this strange statement, yet all these, though they were commended for their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better so that they would not, apart from us, be made perfect. I'm glad I don't have an English teacher telling me I have to diagram that sentence, especially if you have to go back to the original Greek to do it. Essentially, what the point is that's being tried to be made here in that complexly structured statement is that before Christ came, there were all kinds of people who lived by faith. But it was only in Christ that they received the promise of God and eternal life. And so they are remembered for the faith of their lives, and their salvation was held in reserve until Jesus came. And then they saw the promise that we see as well when we follow Jesus Christ. Therefore, the author of Hebrews continues, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run the race. Let us lay down the weight of sin and follow Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. Every Monday, I share a conversation online with a few other disciple clergy, most of them from our region, and we talk about how things are going in ministry, and sometimes we talk about what we preached on or what we were going to preach on. This beautiful passage of Hebrews 11 always makes me think of an arena. It was familiar to the ancient Greeks who started the Olympics to watch foot races of people running surrounded by a crowd, a cloud of witnesses. So it's a legitimate context to interpret this scripture in. In this past Monday's conversation with my fellow disciple clergy colleagues, someone was talking about how he heard this text in a new way, not so much a running of marathon, but a hiking of mountains. We ended up having a conversation together about wayfaring, wayfinding, wandering in the wilderness. The idea of faith as a marathon or a race makes you think that the course is laid out ahead of you and you know where you're going, and that crowd of witnesses is there to cheer you on and make sure you get across the finish line. And sometimes that is surely true. Sometimes the path laid out for a church is so clear that you just need that extra encouragement of those who've come before and those who come alongside to keep you on track and keep you going. But sometimes the way is a bit unsure. And so the metaphor of faith shifts from being running a marathon for the Lord or sprinting with Jesus. The metaphor shifts to being one of hiking together in the mountains, trying to find your way in the wilderness with a peak in the distance and a flowing stream as your path. It was a fascinating conversation, you see, because one of the participants in that group is Duncan Miller. He's a retired disciple pastor in Colorado. And quite a few years ago, when he first moved to Colorado, he started climbing the tallest peaks he could find. In the state that is our neighbor, just to the south, there are 58 mountain peaks measured at over 14,000 feet. Duncan didn't set out with a goal to climb them all. He just wanted to survive one, and he did. And it was such an exhilarating experience to stand among the clouds and to see the vista that he climbed another and another. There's a significant climbing community in Colorado. Indeed, people come from all over the world to climb those 14ers. There are a few that are pretty accessible that maybe I could even make them. There's one that there's a road pretty close to the top and a parking lot, and you can get there. So that mountain peak is pretty crowded, but a few of them are quite a bit more challenging. There's an area called the Bells with multiple 14ers that have a climbing difficulty of 3 or even 4. Sort of like whitewater rafters have a rating for a class 4 rapid or class 5 rapid, telling you it's very challenging and difficult. So too with mountain climbers. Last week, Duncan climbed peak number 56. He has 2 to go. Along the way of just climbing one mountain at a time, this now retired 70-something-year-old disciple pastor decided, I'm getting close enough, I need to do them all. And so we cheer him on every time he makes that milestone. Duncan has taught us in our clergy group about the importance of climbing companions. He often hikes with others who may be younger than he is. He said it's helpful because they have energy and stamina and are patient to encourage him. And sometimes they're headed to a mountain where he has hiked before, and he leads because he knows the way. Part of trusting our cloud of witnesses, our fellow Christians, our brothers and sisters in Christ, who serve in the church with us and who've gone before us and will come behind us, part of the importance of trusting that cloud of witnesses is being able to find our way. This morning, church, I wonder if you need to be reminded that other congregations before us have been without a pastor. And in our own history here in Casper, there have been times of transition. When God's Holy Spirit has called a minister to leave service here and go somewhere else, and you survived, you will survive again. You will not only survive, you will thrive, because God is preparing this place and these people, you, the people of God, for a grand adventure of climbing a mountain peak you haven't seen before. You know part of the way to get to the top, but there are heights you have yet to reach. Looking out this morning, it's pretty fascinating to me that the only place you could find a seat, if you happen to come today a little late to worship, the only place you could find a seat is in the front 2 pews. You all did pretty well filling the house this morning. Thank you. Maybe we should start assigning seats and you fit at the front and fill towards the back. I don't know. Climbing with God requires great trust. It also requires a support system. When my friend Duncan goes at mountain climbing, not only does he take a climbing partner with him, he has a support crew. His last hike took 17 hours from tent to tent. They were camped in the mountain in two different locations, so he had friends waiting at the base and friends waiting to receive him. And they were in radio contact with one another, "Charlie, the Eagles landed," letting one another know that Duncan had made it safely. In the in-between time for that part of his journey when he was hiking alone, he had a little electronic device. It's a GPS made specifically for folks who spend time in the backcountry. It has an emergency signal on it. In places where you can't even get a cell phone, this little device, if you push the button, will connect with the satellite. It can send a predetermined message saying, "I'm fine," or it can send a distress signal, "I'm injured and may be late," or "Help." Several years ago, Duncan was hiking with a brother-in-law who ended up having a heart attack. Duncan pushed that button on that device, and immediately search and rescue was launched, and a helicopter got his brother-in-law off the mountain and down to a hospital and saved his life. People of God, prayer is our emergency button. When we are lost, when we need help, we are not alone. Even in the wilderness of life, we simply have to call on God, and help will come. Wayfaring, finding your way, requires a few specific skills. Has anyone here ever used a compass? Yeah, a lot of us have. You know there's a little jiggly arrow that tries to detect magnetic north, and you know there's a part of the compass that turns that you can line up with that north. If you're actually out in the wilderness, there's even more fine-tuning you can do with that compass work. You can lay it down on a map and triangulate from landmarks you can see two distant peaks. A landmark that you know exactly where it is on the map, you can draw a line with compass bearings and locate yourself in the middle of nowhere. You know where you are. Scripture is like that compass. It helps us to find our place in the world, even in times when we think we're not sure where we're headed. We know where we've been, but we're not sure what is ahead. We turn to the word of the Lord. And by faith, we hear stories of the people of God that sound absolutely crazy. The Bible celebrates as a hero a prostitute who let spies into her house. It turns out they were working for the Lord. She saved their life, and God used her to be part of the plan of the Israelites. By faith, David shut the mouths of lions in the lion's den. It sounds like a great theme for a sci-fi movie or a Sunday school tale you would tell to your children, but it's pretty crazy, isn't it? Oh, my friends, crazier things have happened. By faith, people in this church have picked up the phone and called someone else in the church when they were having chest pains, and because of that phone call, ended up at the hospital in time to have heart surgery and have their life saved. By faith, people in this sanctuary have raised money they didn't know they had to replace a boiler that went out on a cold October morning. A word of caution. While I'm leaving town, I'm pretty sure the boiler is fine. If it gets really cold and Ted tells you we need to raise some money, double check. It's probably not for the boiler, but for another very legitimate reason. So trust him and listen. By faith, people like Dick and Virginia McCall loved and cared for this congregation and left it in good hands. By faith, people like Lynn and Ann Clockseam contributed to music ministry here that reaches beyond their years among us and continues to bless others who will come. By faith, Mackenzie and Natalie Grooms will grow up in this place. And I have every confidence that before I go to heaven, I will somehow hear on the disciple grapevine that one of those Grooms girls is a deacon or an elder or a Sunday school teacher or maybe even answering the call to ministry because of you. You are the cloud of witnesses for the children who are here. For Delilah and Max and Colin Stewart, who came forward this morning. For Levi, who rejoices every week. Hello! Every church family needs a Levi to love them unconditionally because you love him. You are the cloud of witnesses that will guide and direct and nurture Madison and Maisie, Emma, Blake. Being a cloud of witnesses doesn't mean you get to just sit and watch. Yeah, you might be a little tired. Yeah, you might have given a lot to the church already. Are you still breathing? Raise your hand. God isn't done with you yet. If you are still breathing, then you are part of the living cloud of witnesses, which means you still have to cheer the children on. You still have to teach them and guide them and show the way. You still have to keep pushing that panic button of prayer at just the right time. You still need to study scripture so you know the path the church should take through the wilderness that we all face. Our cloud of witnesses is vast. It includes those who are already watching from heaven and breathing holy whispers to our hearts. Do you ever hear Twyla Herrick kind of telling you what to do? Or maybe Kathleen Himmery? I never knew her, but man, that saint still speaks in this place loud and clear. The cloud of witnesses here runs deep and is strong and sure. This morning, the road doesn't necessarily turn, it simply splits. The path gradually parts, and one small branch heads slightly northwest, to be traveled in stages. On September 1st, I will get in the car with, I think, three pets, a box of live orchids that may or may not survive the journey, a suitcase or two, a CPAP machine, and some other stuff that wouldn't fit on the moving truck. And I will begin to drive to Portland. I'm going the scenic route by way of Jackson, because I need to see the Tetons one more time before leaving Wyoming. About 6 weeks later, Charles will get into his car, amazed at the fact that Steve Huckfeld fit every box now on the floor of the garage into the back of Charles's vehicle. I know it'll fit. Charles isn't sure, but all the rest of our stuff, you know, those cleaning supplies and half-used cans of paint, anything that's liquid that a professional mover says can't go on the vehicle, it's going to be in Charles's car. I don't have to take the toxic stuff because I have the pets and the plants. I think his drive might be a little bit easier. He is going to get to Portland in 2 days because his calendar is defined by his last day of work here and the day of Karen Huckfeldt's wedding. So the road is splitting just a little bit, But it's a two-way street. There's not going to be a block put up. So if any of you happen to be traveling to visit relatives or friends in the Northwest, look us up. First Christian Portland is at 1314 Southwest Park Street. If you don't remember, Kathy can find the address for you. The website will tell you what time they worship on Sunday mornings. You're welcome any time. The McBrides will have a guest room. Now, right now, there's no bed in it, so bring your camping gear and you can stay with us. Today is a fond farewell, and it's hard for all of us because of the love we share. But it's not goodbye, because I'll be back. Charles will show up again, and you'll say, "Why didn't we lock the door?" We are still family, and we'll still belong to each other, and we will still hear and share stories of ministry and what is happening in the amazing places where God calls us to be. If you are a person who has been blessed by the ministry of the Reverend Cynthia Dobson McBride in your life at some point over the past 10 years, if you're a Cindy fan and you are able, I encourage you to continue to show up to worship here. The best tribute you can possibly pay to my ministry is to keep this church alive and well and strong and healthy and moving forward. And if you were a person who's honestly a little bit relieved that it's time for somebody new to come, and that's okay. That's a place some of you may be. It is absolutely okay. Then make sure you come and support this place so that new and different things happen when God calls your next leader here. I'm not talking to the folks who are in the pews every single Sunday, no matter what, because you're going to be here. But I'm talking to the ones who aren't real sure about what happens next. Maybe you're a little scared. That's okay. But you need to be reminded that you are still loved by this cloud of witnesses, and your work here, as long as you are breathing, is not done. Keep praying, keep studying Scripture, keep serving, keep working for the Lord and loving the kids that come to this place, so they know how to become the saints that you are. People crazy enough to think you can shut the mouth of a lion. People crazy enough to know that whatever your job description in the world is, God can use you just as God used Rahab. One last story to share of a little moving miracle. I really have been convinced all along that this call is of God, because there have been too many tiny moments of affirmation for me to ignore, even if I'm feeling cynical. From the timing of the people here who said yes to serve on the search committee, to the timing of the affirmation and call for me to go to Portland. Tiny miracles have happened all along the way, including signing more paperwork than I ever thought was possible, to simultaneously sell and buy two homes in two states with two different sets of regulations. We have signed DocuSign electronic signatures. We have signed names on pieces of paper that would be faxed and scanned and shipped by FedEx. And all of a sudden, it's true. We're done selling a house. We're halfway there. Last Sunday, I told you of the little miracle that I was stressed, and I came and I sat in the back of the sanctuary and I prayed, "Oh God, please bless our mover." And 30 minutes later in my office, the cell phone rang and the voice on the other end said, "Hi, I'm Mover Bob from Tennessee. I wanted to assure you everything's going to be fine." Well, I just wanted to tell you this morning about Mover Bob. He showed up right on time, and he looked around at all the stuff in our house, and he said, "Man, you still got some packing to do." And I said, "Yeah, I know." And he said, "Are you doing it all by yourself?" I said, "No, I had a few friends from church help early on, and my husband's tried, but he's working really hard." And Yeah, I'm kind of doing it by myself. Oh, he said. And he kind of kept looking around, and he said, well, you know, on the billing inventory that set the price for him to come and the amount he would charge my new church for the move, he said, I can tell just by looking at your house, they way underestimated the weight. That means I can charge extra for packing. So I'm going to wrap up all this stuff in this room and all this stuff over here. And we got it done, me and Mover Bob. It turns out that Bob moved an entire truck, and he's got a big truck, full of boxes from a historical archives just down the street from Vanderbilt University. He moved that whole load to Bethany, West Virginia. Bob was the mover hired by the Christian Church Disciples of Christ to haul the archives of our denomination when we built a new historical society building. He said, there must be precious stuff in those boxes. They wouldn't let me touch them. I just drove the truck. I said, yeah, there's some pretty valuable things. I said, it's mostly historical paper. He said, yeah, somebody told me there's a letter actually signed by Daniel Boone. I said, yeah. I said, there's some stuff in there handwritten by a guy named Alexander Campbell, too. He said, oh, I don't know who that was. I said, no, you won it. But trust me, he was important to our church. Mover Bob moved the entire archives of our denomination. I think my little box of knickknacks is going to be just fine. Wandering through the wilderness can be a scary thing. But oh, it's exhilarating. You reach the mountain peak and you see the world God made in a whole new way. And sometimes when you get where you're going, all of a sudden you realize the road is smoother than you thought. Last night, Charles and I had dinner with John and Amanda Curlin. You knew her as Amanda Dowler. They usually do a lot of mountain biking stuff up around Sheridan in the rough country of northern Wyoming. They ride mountain bikes on steep trails and gravel roads and big rocks. And recently, they were part of an MS ride, and John said it was really fun to ride on the pavement. They closed the road, and we went straight, and it was smooth and paved, and boy, you could go fast. It made me think, sometimes, church, the road smooths out, and we gain some energy and momentum, and it feels like we're going fast. There will be times in your future when it is smooth sailing. When the pledges come in on time and the budget is so well underwritten that the stewardship commission turns to the mission commission and says, you all need to start a new ministry. We got money to spend for the Lord. Now, that might not happen this year. This year, you might still be walking among the rocks and holding your button in case you have to pray again and figuring out where to go. But Jesus will be right there with you the whole way. And I look forward to hearing about the journey. And what is next for this cloud of witnesses? For I know God will bless your future. That is gospel truth. That is good news. Amen and amen. Our closing hymn today is number 535. It's somewhat a new hymn that we sang for the first time not too long ago, and I fell in love with the message it has, a promise of hope for the future. How sometimes when you can't see what's going to happen, but you live in faith, God's plan unfolds. Faith, while trees are still in blossom on page 535, we will stand and sing together. If there's anyone looking for a church home, this is a great place for you to join others seeking Christ. You're invited to come forward. Let us stand and sing. There is a reception waiting for us downstairs. I think there's a rumor about cake and nuts and mints and coffee and something that sounds yummy, and I do hope that everyone will join us in Fellowship Hall for a time of visiting and conversing with one another and enjoying the Spirit of God. As our benediction today, I have invited Nick to share with me in a covenant of sending forth, a way of our promising each other that we will continue to be faithful to God, that we will answer as the last line of that hymn said, "Lord, I am willing, send me," a promise from me to you, that I will do my best to love and serve the Lord always. And a promise in response from the church that likewise you will be faithful to the calling of the Lord in your lives. May you be blessed by this benediction. May God, who sets the sun to rule over the day, who separated the land from the seas and called forth life on our planet, may God, the Creator, call forth new life in you.
May God of our ancestors, who made covenant with Abraham and Sarah, who gave Noah the beautiful sign of the rainbow, and who offered all humanity the new covenant of eternal life through Jesus Christ. May God, who is ever faithful at keeping promises, watch over your journey to come.
And may you, O people of God, remember your promises to the Lord. If you forget, if you ignore the Holy Spirit or wander from the way, I pray that the God of Jacob will wrestle you to the ground.
The God of our past, who led Moses and Miriam, who called Alexander Campbell, Anne and Lynn Cloxing, and Lois Cook, that God is also the God of our future, who will bless our children's children.
May you continue to live faithfully in this place, so that Natalie and Mackenzie Grooms, Delilah Stewart, Blake Stupak, and all of tomorrow's children will come to know and love Jesus Christ.
May we all know hope and light and peace in abundance. May it be our very nature to share generously all we have been given.
O people of God, blessed and beloved, as we go forth to love and to serve wherever we are led, may we know Christ before us, Christ behind us, Christ above us, Christ within us. May God bless you as you have blessed me.
Holy One, go with us wherever you may lead us. Guide us through the wilderness, protect us from the storms. Bring us home, rejoicing at the wonders you have shown us. Bring us home, rejoicing once again unto our door.
Amen.